helping us, I ask your attention to those words that we read, the first epistle, Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and I'll read the last verse. First epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. The chapter was, the epistle rather, was written unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. You may think that the word was meant to be written to ministers or to those who do some particular labour in the Lord's name. I believe it is written to the Church of Christ. Whatever place they have amongst the Lord's people, from the humblest position and place, even to be just private Christians, as some are called. But they are to be steadfast. The whole of the chapter, you will know, is written on the doctrine of the resurrection and the mercy of the resurrection. For as Christ was the Christ who died and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, he was the first fruits of those that slept. And as he rose, so will all his people rise. And indeed will all mankind rise, some unto honour and some unto dishonour, some to eternal woe and some to eternal joy. And of course the remainder of the chapter we read was concerning those who shall be raised in immortality and shall be blessed with that gracious blessing of being in glory with Christ. Those words which we read, and I believe it is spoken twice in the 51st chapter, in the 51st verse and the 52nd verse, it reads, but we shall all be changed. In the 52nd, and we shall be changed. And so the word begins, therefore, because of these things, because there is a victory that shall be gained through our Lord Jesus Christ, because the sting of death is removed and the victory of the grave is removed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of these things and because of the hope that lies in the heart of every believer in Jesus Christ, therefore, as they go on in the journey, as they go on towards the end of the journey, at all places in the journey, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the Lord help us to look at what these words may be of benefit to us. As I said as I began, when you speak of the labour, as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord, we might think that it's only to concern those who in the amongst believers have something to do in the Church of Christ. But you know, every believer in Christ has something to do. This is not a discourse on works. The Lord deliver us from thinking that this labour here is works upon which one can rest. There's something very sweet when the Holy Spirit records, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes we need reminding that, but I believe every believer in Christ has a labour. I don't want to say has something to do, because it sounds like works again. But is given, exercised, and burdened with that which they cannot lay down, and which they shall labour under. And if the Holy Spirit is pleased to burden you and lay upon you that which is for your profit and benefit, then it is not in vain. But first of all, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Why is it necessary? You can trace it often enough through the Word of God, where the Lord here and there speaks of this necessity of continuing, because that's what it is. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Why would a child of God be needed to be reminded of this? Because it's everything that is found in the pathway of these dear people that would overthrow, if it could, the work of grace. And indeed, the pathway being one of tribulation, this veil of tears which they are walking through, these oft trying times, temptations, a trinity of evil, the world, the flesh, and the devil, opposing grace in the soul, the victory is accomplished for the child of grace, you know. It's accomplished. It's finished. They shall get home safe to glory. They know not how they will. They know not whether they will sometimes. In all our worst afflictions, when furious foes surround us, when troubles vex and fears perplex, and Satan would confound us, when foes to God and goodness, we find ourselves by feeling to do what's right, unable quite, and almost as unwilling. You read the second verse that you sung, when like the restless ocean, our hearts cast up uncleanness, flood after flood with mire and mud, and all is foul within us, when love is cold and languid, and different passions shake us, when hope decays and God delays and seems to quite forsake us. Well, is that too strong a language? This is the language of those who fear the Lord. This is the language of those who walk the path of tribulation. And the answer to it? Well, I know it's in the last verse, but in this word is this: be ye steadfast. Let there be a continuing, holding fast, unmovable, not to be overthrown, because that's what Satan will try to do, and this is what this old nature will try to do. The world, the flesh, and the devil, there's one thing in common, if we might call it, and that's to overthrow the faith of God's dear people, to bring them into distress, to trouble them, to make their tribulations overcome them, to bring them, as it were, to be at a complete standstill. And many of the child of grace has been there and will be there, even though it be, but those enemies that came against Jehoshaphat, he was brought to a standstill. Neither know we what to do. He came to the end of his prayers. Have you come to the end of your prayers? When you say, when it's said within you, like a temptation, well, you might just as well give up praying. For all the effect it has before, seems to be no answer. It is as if the Lord is deaf to your cries. And your faith is brought to a very low ebb. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Now that's not in themselves. Neither is it a gathering together of good thoughts and good ways. My friends, if you are steadfast, it's because he's unchangeable. And if you're enabled to continue unmovable, it's because of the strength and the grace that is imparted, the faith that is indeed felt within. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. It's because he's unchangeable, because he's a faithful God. I sat in a little room last night before we went to chapel. Somebody, and I would assume it was a child, had written these words. It was pinned to the books, to the bookcase. God is faithful. Good word, my friends. When you're unsteadfast, when you are fearing the fall, when you think it's all coming to nothing, all those past experiences, all those encouragements, all those deliverances, all those comfortable times, those joys, those blessings, and Christ was precious and near, and now the warfare seems to be greater, stronger, more intense, and like David, you'll say, in effect, one day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. But because the victory isn't yours, because it's been accomplished by the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in your room and place and stead as believers, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Just as an instance here, my mind went then to those occasions on the lake in the midst of the storm, in one particular place. I think it's in Mark. One particular place, it just drops in, if you'll forgive my wandering again. And we read in the fourth chapter of Mark, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, Jesus Christ, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ship and ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Well, the professor will say, how can you perish with Christ in the vessel? But you know, they had an old nature and a fearful nature, just as we have. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And this is where it's steadfastness, you know. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. It's when in these times of opposition, in these times of tribulation, these times of affliction, these times of Satan harassing and distressing and troubling, calling into question the ways of God in your soul. It's when you feel, when you're able to feel, that underneath are the everlasting arms. And you'll only be steadfast as you are in him. It's not in yourself. Be ye steadfast. Continue. And I thought too, and we must hasten on, because I'm going to say just one or two words of what this labour is. But before we come to that, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. One of those labours, part of that work of the Lord, of which a child of God should be indeed abounding in, is the pathway of prayer, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And I'm sure of this, that the trying times of God's people, the times when we need to be reminded of this steadfastness, this unmovable, this grace that is given to continue in the path, though it seems so much against us, and sin and Satan troubling us. Surely it is when the people of God resort to prayer, when they lay their burdens before the Lord, when they seek the help of God, the intervention, the appearance. I said to someone this afternoon, I know what that woman felt like when we read in Matthew's Gospel, and he answered her not a word. I know what that feels like. And that's the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, then give up praying, Satan says. And old nature would hasten to give his same opinion. This is the work of the Lord. Be ye steadfast. Matters that you've prayed over. Matters that you've prayed over. And it seems as though, like we sang just now, when hope decays and God delays and seems to quite forsake us. And remember once more the words I say it time and time again. I know I'm guilty of repetition, but I say it again. Yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. That's faith. That's faith, and that is steadfastness. That's having something that you are not moved off of. Unmovable. Now, if God has put you amongst his people, called you by his grace, planted your feet safe upon that precious rock, the rock Christ Jesus, he's the foundation of real religion and of salvation, of redemption. There is the rock, and it can never be moved. I've heard people say this, and one has to be ever so careful. You may be moved on the rock, but the rock will never be moved. Or you may tremble on that rock, but nothing can move that rock. The Lord puts his people on something that can never be moved, and that's the person and work of Jesus Christ. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. And then in the matter of praying, in the matter of supplication, in the matter of drawing near to the throne of grace, cast thy burden upon the Lord, David wrote, and he shall sustain thee, always abounding, not turning to something else, not finding an arm of flesh to lean on, not looking for other avenues of deliverances, but to keep steadfast, unmovable, an eye on Jesus fixed. Oh, that word, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Now the Holy Spirit records that truth. Satan will try to disannul it. Satan will cause you to doubt and will cause you to fear that it is not so. That though the prayers of the people of God shall be heard in eternal glory, yet it may be that you'll try that yours will not be so. And therefore they're not of the Holy Spirit's blessed teaching. Well, you wouldn't be the first one who was tried over their prayers. You won't be the last while there is a people of God on earth. But the word here to me is, be ye steadfast. Continue. I looked at that again. I preached on it back in June, not here, but elsewhere, in the book of Exodus, where I may have reminded you at some time in the year, where poor Moses came before the Lord and said, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. Take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it. You're not alone, my friends, you're not alone. This is the pathway of the saints of God. When it comes to giving up, Moses was almost giving up there. The Lord said, go on, be steadfast. Paul the Apostle, in his last moments of his life, in his last letter that he wrote to his dear son in the faith, Timothy, did not hide from him anything that was profitable for his own soul, but declared what it was, how it was that he was brought thus far to the place that he was. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue. That is what it is. Therefore, my beloved brethren, I thought when I began to look at those words, it came to me in the early hours of the morning. When I began to look at these words, I thought at the time when he wrote against their carnality, when he wrote against their sins and iniquities in those early chapters in this first epistle. But he was writing to the church of Christ. Though he would reprove them, though he would correct them, though he would seek from them repentance over the ways that they walked, yet they were still my beloved brethren. And that word, and I was going to say the word of advice, that word of direction. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know. Do you know that will be in the proving of it, won't it? That will be in the proving of it. This boldness that some have. Oh, it'll all be right. Some will say, it'll all come straight in the end. It's a false comfort, my friend. But there is a blessed knowledge that what the Lord has said, whether it's in promise or in prophecy, and what those precious things upon which you have been called to hope, those matters which the Lord speaks into the soul, and you will find this is true. For as much as you know that your labour is not in vain. Amen. Shall we close with hymn 713? Faith to Sinai eye looks, it fills the heart with dread, and justifies the dreadful stroke that strikes the sinner dead. And when by faith we trace Christ, is the only way, from endless wrath to endless bliss, we for the blessing pray. But when faith views the Lamb as my atoning priest, it magnifies his precious name, and sets the heart at rest. Hymn 713. Tender sign I looks, it fills the heart with dread. Justifies the dreadful for thy most holy word, because it is so suitable to thy people, written aforetime for our learning, walked out by the saints of God in those early gospel days, that, Lord, the path they walk then is in a measure the pathway that those who fear the Lord walk today. But, Lord, so is this blessing, the God that ruled in those days is just the same today. Lord, how we need reminding of thy faithfulness, thy goodness. Lord, what we so much need is grace and faith in the exercise of it. Lord, not to look at the waves and the billows as Peter did, but to look unto thee. And Lord, may these words which we have this night looked at be a word, Lord, which may remain with us, which may abide in our hearts, that in time to come we might look up to thee in our times of tribulation and remind thee, Lord, of the need of grace to prove these words. Lord, 'tis not in us. Lord, those wise servants of God in Old Testament times, Daniel and Joseph in Egypt, Lord, it was not in them. Their wisdom came from God. Wasn't earthly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom was granted. Lord, we need this grace. Constantly, Lord, we have a pathway which has many times have got opposition in it. Lord, help us to look beyond it, to look above it, and to look to him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And Lord, to look to him who gained the victory, not for himself, but for his people. Our captain stood the fiery test, and we shall stand through him. Lord, forgive and pardon everything that's been wrong. Take us now to our homes in peace and abide with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit remain with us, both now and forever. Amen.